Good morning. It's good to be here. I forgot my glasses, so I think I can get through. No, they're prescription, but that's cool. I'm young. I should be able to get through this. Yeah. Well, welcome everyone. Before I start, we had a time of remembrance yesterday for Charlie Carrera. And one thing I got out of it is, you know, we see Uncle Bill, one of the elders here at Northwest, a stalwart, a foundation here. But then we hear another side of this, of him as a little boy getting into trouble. It was good to hear. It was really good to hear. But it was a good time of sharing yesterday and remembering. Before I start, I'd like to share some encouraging words of how God is using Northwest Bible Chapel. If you remember back in 2012, our church, through World Relief, partnered with a startup church to sponsor a Muslim refugee family coming to Chicago from Myanmar. We collected furniture, pants, blankets, food, and all other household items needed to start up a new home. I don't know if you remember that. But we had a big pile of stuff in the back all ready for this family. But we also asked for prayer for this new family in a new land. Some of us had the chance to visit the family, but in very limited capacity. But we continued to pray for them. Our partners, led by Bob Andrews, continued to visit and help in any practical ways. But a little bit of a background about Bob Andrews' church. They had done this four other times, sponsoring a refugee family, getting the items, getting everything ready, getting prepared to do visits to these families. But all four times, the family took the gifts and a month or so later left the state. So they were very discouraged. They were very discouraged at, you know, that their ministry direction, they questioned their ministry direction. The group didn't see any fruit in it, and they were discouraged. Now I want to fast forward to 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, October 4th, 5 years later, after I received an email from Bob Andrews. And this is what it said on that email. "We need to talk. You need to be aware of the amazing good that God worked through you, and even though you and I were unaware, it will literally blow you away. Let me know when we can talk, or if you can visit Devon Avenue." So he called me just this past Tuesday, and this is what he said. "The family that the Northwest helped from were from the Rohingya people tribe of Myanmar, who are facing ethnic cleansing by the Myanmar government. 168,000 Rohingyans have fled Myanmar since 2012. And actually, back in last year, in January 2016, Danielle visited Myanmar, and her project was to get the political view of the ethnic minorities. The Rohingya people were so sensitive that she couldn't really talk to anyone about them, because everyone knew the underlying truth that they were all being killed because of their Muslim belief. And so these people are being cleansed." Danielle was able to talk to Cap a little bit about it and the person that sponsored her to be on that trip. But it was all hush-hush because, you know, they didn't want people to know. If you go into the news today and you look up Rohingya, you'll see the devastating onslaught or slaughter of these people in Myanmar. Let me get back to our story. So Bob and his group continued to visit these families, made a difference in their lives. The gospel was proclaimed and lived out to this family. The family's lives were transformed by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Because of this family's faith conversion, any Rohingya family coming into the Chicago area would be greeted by this family because they're a tight group. They're a very tight group, just like any ethnic group of people, whether it be the Filipinos or whatever it might be. They're tight because they're new to the country. So they would be welcomed by this family with the gospel. And Bob Andrews has open access to all these families because Bob Andrews has been accepted by them, that he is a helper. So today there are 2,000 Rohingyas in Chicago. There's much more in Milwaukee, and there's more in Indiana City, nearby Indiana City. And today, Bob Andrews has access to all those people because of that one family, that he can share with them the gospel. Isn't that amazing? One family. You know, right now Bob Andrews has started. He was starting a church. Actually, it was on Devon Avenue, just west of Western. And I remember going to that church a few times, and it was actually in a restaurant. And I remember we broke bread. We had a speaker, but we had to stop by 12 o'clock because at 12:30 the restaurant opened. God used Northwest. We prayed for those people. And I want to encourage you that, you know, these things that we don't usually hear, we're a part of. Now, you can visit Bob's ministry by going on his website on divineoasiscenter.org, or you can visit him in person. Their office is at 6355 Northwestern Avenue. I want to encourage everyone, and I want to emphasize, Bob emphasized to me, to thank all the believers at Northwest for the practical gifts given to the family and the prayers for this refugee family. God has used this family to introduce the gospel to more Rohingyas. Praise God. We are a part of that. Northwest was a part of that. And so I encourage everyone here just to remember God's grace, that it changes lives, and that we can be a part of this great story, this great love story. Obviously, there are many more stories like this, and we need to share these stories. God has used Northwest and its people to further his kingdom in our own little corner of Chicago, but also around the world. We should thank God for that. We should be encouraged by that. And we should continue to do to serve him. Okay. With that as my introduction, let's just read our scripture for today. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. As you can remember, last time I spoke on, about a month and a half ago, I spoke on Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 13. And I actually, at that time, confessed to you that this was the message I wanted to communicate back then. But God had just worked something, had just convicted me to talk about the mystery, about the church. So this is what I had planned to speak on a month and a half ago. So let's just read this. I'm reading from the NIV. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond that all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, that Father, that it gives us a direction. It gives us instructions in how to be transformed into Christ's likeness. Father, we thank you that you have given us the privilege to serve you here on earth, to further your kingdom. Whether it be in a small way or in a big way, we thank you that we have this privilege to serve you. We pray, Father, that we would be sensitive to the people around us, that you would give us a vision of reaching out to our neighbors, to our co-workers, our classmates, our neighbors. We thank you, Father, because you have first loved us and you change our lives. Help us to be a servant. Help us to seek you, seek your will in our lives, and that we can honor you in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we know that this writing, Ephesians, is directed to Christians. So if you this morning are still in doubt, if you are a believer, today you can receive this free gift of salvation. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:8-9, this is a very popular verse, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Today is the day, if you do not know him, to receive that free gift, to realize that your sins has been forgiven because of the sacrifice work of Christ on Calvary's cross. That's available to all of us here this morning. So, last time I spoke, about a month ago again, I stated the statement from Warren Wiersbe, and I'm going to read it to you again because it's very convicting to me, and maybe you might remember this because it was very poignant. It says, Warren Wiersbe says, "The gospel is an individual message. It says that Christ died for me, I can come and I can be saved. But the Christian life is not an individual life. The mystery now moves in and says, wait a minute, something more happened to you than simply being saved. You have now become a part of the body of Christ. You Christians belong to each other. My friend, if all you know is the gospel, you will be a sanctified individualist. And that is what kills churches. And that's what wrecks Christians. But if you know the mystery, then you become a part of all that God is doing, and your life is enriched. And you will have experiences in the Lord you can never experience all by yourself." So that was from the last time I spoke. I want to expound on that and continue on that thought. So what now for the believer or the Christian? So this prayer Paul prayed for the Ephesians is a prayer of an enablement. So that we can lay our hands on what God has for us and by faith make it a vital part of our lives. Did you get that? It's a prayer of an enablement so that we can lay our hands on what God has for us. His riches. We sing many hymns about God's riches. That's available to the believer. Let's look at this prayer then. First thing he prays for. Verse 16. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man." He prays for spiritual strength. He's praying for spiritual strength. Again, we got to remember that Paul is writing to Christians, and that we remember back in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. but he's asking for spiritual strength. You know, here I think, you know, as a paraphrase, Paul was saying, I want you to get your hands on your wealth. One more time. I want you to get your hands on your wealth. Realize how vast it is and start to use it. I want you to get your hands on your wealth. Christian, I want you to understand that you have these riches. And I want you to start using it. Of course, remember this. Of course, this is in regard to the spiritual condition of the inner man and not the material needs of the body. Again, I want to emphasize this is a spiritual strength, spiritual need, that we are rich. We remember this story in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples experienced a weakness in spirit. And this is what they said. It was because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. To be willing in the spirit is not enough. To be willing in the spirit is not enough. The spirit must be also be strong. The spirit must also be strong. When the spirit is strong, it can overcome the weakness of the flesh. Get that? See that? When the spirit is strong, it can overcome the weakness of the flesh. So, Paul prays for strength from our Father according to the riches of His glory. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for strength from our Father according to the riches of His glory. What's His second prayer? Verse 17. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, pray for spiritual depth. So we prayed for spiritual strength. Now pray for spiritual depth. Here, MacDonald says, we enter into the enjoyment of His indwelling through faith. So Christians, we have this. We are, we enjoy this indwelling through our faith. But this involves constant dependence on Him. Here's the condition for us. This involves constant dependence on Him, constant surrender to Him, and constant recognition of His at-homeness, that He is in us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. That's our responsibility. I want to read that one more time. We enter into the enjoyment of His indwelling through faith. This involves constant dependence in Him, constant surrender in Him, and constant recognition of His at-homeness. It is through faith that we practice His presence. It is through faith that we practice His presence. You know, as I studied more about, you know, praying for spiritual depth, we see in this verse that, you know, that He will dwell, that being rooted and grounded in love, these three words. Ken Wiest, who is a commentator, translate dwell as that Christ might finally settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts. That was a little convicting when I read that. Dwell, he translates dwell as that Christ might finally settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts. Can we say that? Are there things in our hearts that we put a wall and say, no, sorry, you can't enter here? No. It's that constant surrender. Getting back to that. This is a process. Well, I'll see at the end here the process of what Paul is praying for. First, for prayer for strength in spirit, this power. And then prayer for spiritual depth, that it might not be surface on the surface, but it would be, and we'll see later, it'd be grounded and rooted in his love. Let me just read this also. Paul prays that the Lordship of Christ might extend. Well, I kind of wrote this up and I was thinking about this. So if we can say that we want him to completely be at home in our hearts, well, here Paul prays that the Lordship of Christ might extend to the websites we visit, the work that we do, the thoughts that we think, the money we spend, the words we speak. In short, the minutest details of our lives. Does he have access into that? The minutest details in our lives. Or is there a closet that we just keep closed? If we want to, as we continue into this prayer, we'll see, the end is the fullness of God. I guess I kind of went to the end already, but we'll get to that. I'm going to read that thing again from Ken Wiest about dwell, that Christ might finally settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts. Can you say that? That he has access to the minutest detail, to your thought life. It's very convicting to me. I'm up here, and as I studied this, it was very convicting to me. But the end result, this process, we talked about last week in our conference, the perfect or the maturing. It's a maturing process. The second word Paul uses, is rooted. Spiritual roots deep into the love of God. And here's a verse in Jeremiah, verses 17, verses 5 and 8. It reads, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives." But here it is. "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Are we rooted? Do we dwell in God's love? Does he have open access to our hearts so that he can strengthen us, so that he can continue to give us faith? This next word is grounded. This is some concluding words of Christ on the Sermon on the Mount. It reads in Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25. Again, the word is grounded here. And this is Christ after he had this amazing Sermon on the Mount. Kingdom truths of how we should live. And here are his final words of that sermon. Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock." Because it had its foundation on the rock. be grounded in God's love. So, you know, we see the natural disasters. I mean, even with the floods and the fires out west, you know, all these things that are, you know, we see these natural disasters coming through. We see, and it's a natural thing. Of course, I'm talking about a spiritual truth here. So if a flood like that came through, are your roots deeply rooted that it won't be moved? If a wildfire came through, are we grounded that our foundation will never be affected? You know, of course, that great hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Are we grounded? We pray to be, that we be grounded in God's love. So, first we pray for strength from our Father according to the riches of His glory. So now, let's pray for a deeper experience in Christ. So we prayed for strength from our Father. Let's pray for a deeper experience in Christ. You see how it's a process. You know, we're weak. But we ask the God of infinity. You know, I read this, it was a hymn, it was in my mind, "The Riches of God," I believe it was called. And that, you know, that He has rubies and gold and all these things. And it's available to us. It's available to us. Are we asking for that? Are we praying for that? And now here, if we have that strength, now we can deep digger, have a deeper experience with Christ. So it goes, the more the Spirit empowers our lives, the greater will be the transformation into the likeness of Christ. So there's your progression. The more the Spirit empowers our lives, the greater will be the transformation into the likeness of Christ for us. Digging deeper. Third thing he prays for. He prays for spiritual comprehension. Verse 18 and the first part of 19. It reads, "May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge." Pray for spiritual comprehension. So we're praying for spiritual strength. We're praying for a deeper experience. And now we're praying for spiritual comprehension. What's this about? What's all this? Let me understand the deeper truths. Okay? Of course, comprehending Christ's love requires God's supernatural power, because it is not naturally discerned. You know, we can look, all of us here, we can see something happening and we will all have different interpretations of what happened. But Christ's love requires supernatural power. It has to come from Him. You know, have you ever heard the phrase, "You are loved more than you will ever know"? I'm sure you've said that to some people. You are loved more than you will ever know. I sat down and wrote down just in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, some of the personal results of God's love for each believer here this morning. I'm sure I missed some. But listen to this. This is just the first two chapters of Ephesians. In verse 4, chapter 1, the Father chose us in Him. In verse 4 again, we became holy and blameless before Him. Verse 5, He adopted us. Verse 7, in Christ we have redemption and forgiveness. Verse 8, He has made known to us the mystery of His will. Verse 11, we received an inheritance. Verse 13, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, He was given as a pledge. So we were given a down payment of our inheritance by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Now in chapter 2, verse 5, He says, He made us alive with Christ. In verse 6, He seated us with Him in the heavenly places. Verse 18, we have access to the Father. Verse 19, we are part of God's household. Isn't that amazing? He told us His love for us. But it's more than that. You know, there's a hymn that it would take an ocean full of ink. It would take the parchment of the skies to write. We would never be able to write down how much God loves us. But, you know, He's asking us to pray that we might comprehend. That hymn that we sang, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Pretty cool. How deep the Father's love for us. And you know, we also get a glimpse of God's love when we hear how other believers were saved, like the Rohingyan. We see God's love in Northwest, and this other startup church had a small part in welcoming this refugee family, sharing with them time, and sharing with them the gospel, the good news, to the point that now thousands of people have access to the gospel because of them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an amazing picture of God's love? Or like the memorial service we had here yesterday, and hear how God used a believing saint to spread the gospel and God's love to family, neighbors, and community. You know, we cannot measure Christ's love, but we can enjoy it, Christian believer. We cannot measure Christ's love, but we can enjoy it. And here's the condition. Probably the only way to know the love of Christ is to begin to show it. There's your challenge. Probably the only way to know the love of Christ is to begin to show it in your own life. Because He's transformed us. We prayed for spiritual strength. We prayed for a deeper understanding. How we pray that we can understand this love. Well, show me your faith by your works. Share this good news to others. This love. We are His workmanship for good works. So, we first pray for strength for our Father according to the riches of His glory. Then we pray for a deeper experience with Christ. Now, we pray that we can comprehend experientially the immeasurable love of Christ. See, it's progressing. The more the Spirit empowers our lives, the greater will be the transformation into the likeness of Christ. Then we can more comprehend Christ's love for us. See that? The Spirit empowers. Then we are transformed into Christ's likeness. Then we can comprehend Christ's love for us. Process. The last thing. Fourth thing. He prays for spiritual wholeness of God. Verse 19, the last part. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. this is, you know, culminating to this. But first, I have to share that positionally, we are complete in Christ. Positionally, we are complete in Christ. Colossians 2, verses 8 and 9, it reads, For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. So positionally, we are full in Christ. So what is this that we might be filled up to the fullness of God? So I'm racking my brain. I'm just thinking, what does this mean, Lord? And I came across a comment from James Montgomery Boyce. And I thought it was beautiful and simple. He says, we are to be filled with all God's fullness, an infinite thing. But then we have all eternity and infinite time to be so filled. I think Paul is praying that we will be filled and filled and filled and filled and filled and so on forever. Isn't that cool? As God, out of his infinite resources, increasingly pours himself out into those sinful but now redeemed creatures he has rescued through the work of Christ. You know, I had a conversation with someone about eternity and the joy. Well, we have joy in eternity. You know, because C.S. Lewis defines joy as a longing for a truth. Well, we need to have a longing in eternity. I mean, we're there. We're with God. But here, I think yes. Because we will be filled and filled and filled for a whole eternity of the fullness of God. An amazing perspective of eternity and the joy that we can have. So in conclusion, there are four requests in Paul's prayer. One request leads into the next one. It's a progression. And so on. First, he prays that the inner man might have spiritual strength, which will in turn lead to a deeper experience with Christ. This deeper experience will enable them to comprehend or get hold of God's great love, which will result in them being filled unto all the fullness of God. So here, Paul's praying for strength, depth, comprehension, and fullness. Here's the challenge for Northwest. What would happen if our church, if each one of us here were committed to praying for individuals by name, going through the directory and adding names that are on there, that are here at Northwest, that aren't currently there, for the next 365, for the next year? What would happen if we were committed to pray for each one of us here by name? This prayer for strength, depth, comprehension, and fullness. What would happen? Here's what would happen, according to the Word of God. It says in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, and we know this according to His will because this is His word. This prayer is from His word. This is His will for us. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. He will hear us. So what would happen a year from today, If each one of us here sitting down in these pews are committed to pray for each individual by name, for God's strength, a deeper experience, comprehension of God's love, and to have the fullness of God, what will happen? Again, we don't want to pray this in a mechanical repetition where we just go boom, 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 boom. This has to be from the heart with a sense of desperation. And I say with a sense of desperation because we look at our times. We see the attacks. We see all the hurdles that are put in front of us. That, you know, we heard back in James, all these trials. What happens if we prayed for each other? Took that directory that's in the back and used this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 as a template of praying. And I did this last time. I had this handout, praying together. That was my intent for this. That was my intent for this. That we would use this template to pray for each one here sitting through that directory. How much different would we be? Let me close with this benediction. And with that, I will close the service. And this is the last part of the prayer. Let's pray. Now, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You have chosen us, that our Savior saved us, and that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And Father, that we have access to these riches. I pray that we, in our prayer life, we would pray for each other, that we pray for each person here at Northwest, that we go through the directory and we pray earnestly that we would have strength. You would give us strength in the Spirit, that You would help us to have a deeper love, grounded and rooted in Your love, that we would be able to comprehend Your love for us, so that, Father, that we might have a fullness of You. Father, I pray that for each one of us here. We thank You, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.